In the 21st century, the Australian education system largely pushed the importance of STEM subjects. However, skills such as creativity, imagination, emotional intelligence, and social intelligence are being reported by employers of our future generations as being equally as important, if not more important. However, need the two be mutually exclusive? New funding sources will not necessarily equip our children with these abilities, but it's the way we approach learning that may make our children ready for the jobs of the future. Joining me now is Fiona Landis of the McKell Institute. Welcome to The Weekly, Fiona.
Thank you, Marie. Good to speak with you.
So what are the reasons that education reform should be considered?
Well, obviously the major problem that we have is that our results are declining. Every new report that comes out shows that we're going backwards in many ways, but the most important and concerning way is in the STEM skills, which are increasingly highlighted as being the most important skills for the current workforce and the future workforce. So it's a real problem to think that our students are going backwards in those areas, and that's the science, technology, maths, engineering skills. So we really need to consider what it is we need to do differently to improve our results, particularly in those areas. And the purpose of this paper is to talk about the fact that it's not just about funding. Obviously, funding is a critical part, but what else do we need to be doing differently to improve those results?
And with skills like creativity, imagination, emotional intelligence and social intelligence, how does that fit into education reform?
Well, I think some academics and certainly reports have shown that they're almost as important as those academic skills. And we really need to be thinking about how you actually teach things like that in the classroom. How do you teach emotional intelligence? You know, how do you teach those collaborative problem-solving skills? And I think there are a range of ideas we can be talking about. And some of those ideas come from having, say, a flipped classroom where you try and prepare for the lesson in terms of reading something or viewing or listening to a lecture prior to coming into the classroom or prior to going into a university. And then that particular class time is used for a collaborative activity where you get together in a group and you try and solve a problem, or you try and get together and consider what it is that needs to be done to address it. That's what's really teaching those, soft skills, the collaborative problem solving, critical thinking, which is just so important for today's workforce.
Now, one of your key recommendations is building a culture to support personalised learning. What does this mean?
So personalised learning is just a bit more about what it actually means to the individual along their educational journey. So that sort of holistic, one-size-fits-all education style just doesn't really work for a workforce that is increasingly about everyone coming together in a sort of egalitarian fashion and trying to solve problems and address issues. So personalised learning is really about working with an individual throughout their learning career. How do they respond to a particular style of learning? What's going to make them actually come away from a situation and have actually gathered something and learnt something from it? So I guess the opposite of personalised learning is really that rote learning where you're in a classroom and you learn something, and then the way that you articulate what you have learnt from it is through a question-answer type situation. Increasingly, personalised learning is about demonstrating in a group setting, in a collaborative setting, what it is that you may have learnt from something. And that is going to build more resilience and build more cohesion and more collaborative thinking in a group setting.
And for employees who are traditionally in the roles of information disseminators, such as medical professionals and members of the teaching profession, how will their roles change with our new crop of students?
Well, I think that the major challenge for people like that is that they're sort of no longer that central point or the central anchor of information. They're sort of that one point in amongst a whole lot of information that their students or their patients, if you like, are accessing, which means that that's a huge challenge because people might come in and say, well, I know I've Googled this and I've read this and I've learnt this. There's so many places now to access information in the 24/7 digital age that it is a real challenge for those people who are no longer considered that sole place of advice and that sole expert. So I think the solution to that in many ways is allowing people to be empowered by that information, but I guess sort of breaking down those hierarchies about I know this, you know, I'm the power and you're the receptor. It's about really, again, having that information sharing environment that where people can learn from each other.
And another recommendation is a temporary teacher program to engage parents and bring workforce experience into the classroom. Tell me about your preschool pilots in Canberra.
Yeah, I think this is a really important one because we can't just leave these problems up to teachers to resolve themselves in terms of teaching a whole new digitally literate generation. So I think bringing parents into the classroom or sort of community into the classroom, giving students real world awareness about what their parents or people they know are doing out there every day brings that sort of broader application to the theory that they might be learning. But we're starting to do this at my child's preschool, and certainly I'll speak to my elder son's local primary school about it too, where parents will go in and do an activity with the children in relation to their place of work. So teaching children what it is that you do every day and how it may relate to what the children are learning, just to give them that sort of broader perspective on what they are, what they're doing in the classroom.
And finally, should reform come about, how can older generations in personal and professional relationships be prepared for the ways in which our younger generation will be thinking and behaving?
I think they really just need to consider that these children are coming into the world in a completely different way, that they are digitally literate, they have huge amounts of information around them. They learn things earlier and they learn things probably faster and in a very different way to their parents, let alone like their grandparents. And we need to really consider that they need to be treated differently. And I think that whole sort of I know more than you because I've lived longer is no longer relevant. Everybody is sort of accessing information in a much faster way. And I think the best thing to do is really to consider that those soft skills, the emotional intelligence, and approach a situation that's in a collaborative sense, in a sense where you're working together and trying to understand everybody's point of view and you're working together to solve a particular issue is really the best way that you're going to address children in the digital age.